Chris and Kira. Weekends from 11.
Oh my goodness, Kira, what a weekend of shows it was, in fairness.
It really was, Chris. What did we talk about? Because I can't remember.
Kira, there was so much. Do you not remember that you made a friend? Is that, are you not so excited about the fact you made a friend?
You embarrassed me, Chris. We had a quiz contestant on Sunday. And yeah, Chris, you embarrassed me, man. I was like, let it go. I was just, do you know what? I'm just excited to talk to people. It's got to that stage in the year where I'm dying for company.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, Kira, don't worry, because you making a friend is being included in the podcast, so everyone will hear it later on in the show. However, we were also discussing, this was very interesting, something which really, really hit me hard. There was a list of the, and I know they do this every year, there was a list of the sexiest accents revealed, and God almighty, the two top ones are sickening and insulting, quite frankly, Kira. Thank you.
Do you know what? It was very interesting, though, and a big shout out to Thailand, who voted for themselves. That was my, but that was, and also the English people who voted for the Irish accent have been very, for being very sexy. At least I got something right in the last couple of years. Also, we had Kira's Diary, which saw teenage Kira's secret romance shared with some of her peers, and she's not happy about it. And then myself and Chris, we had a big chat about Christmas decorations and how we've decided not to be Christmas Grinches this year and to embrace it.
That's right. And of course, we also were discussing a BBC news presenter who lost it while trying to do a very serious report on, you know, animal welfare and musical therapy and expression and all that kind of stuff. And of course, Kira made a friend with a girl named Aoife. So it's all happening on the podcast. Don't go anywhere.
Is that seriously been included in the podcast?
Yes.
Oh my God. You make me out like I have lots of friends, Chris. Actually, in fact, I have too many friends. My problem is, though, I don't see anyone anymore because obviously we're coming towards, you know, the twilight of this pandemic and Christmas is around the corner and we need to all be really, really careful, you know?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
So that we don't go into another lockdown and that we can, you know, maybe start 2021 off, hopefully.
The fact that you're over-explaining why you haven't seen all your friends makes it look like you have even fewer friends than I thought originally.
Because I have to go right now because I'm actually going for a walk with one of my friends.
Do all your friends go to a different school? Did you meet them on holidays? All right, listen, all of that. And
no, my friends were right about you.
Yeah, hey. You know what? I'd take offense to that if you had any friends. Hey! All right, listen. No, they probably are all right about me, Kieran. I'm sure they say horribly negative things, but you know what? They're dead right. How about this? Here we go, Kieran. Let's all enjoy. I know I shouldn't take these things seriously. I know that there's no reason to actually get animated or hepped up or worked up about it, but Kieran, you know I get worked up nonetheless.
There's no rhyme or reason to any of these surveys, and we're approaching that time of the year where all these surveys are going to be coming out, where people are going to be doing a look back. We're going to be going through lists of 2020, and boy oh boy, I am not here for it, but I'm going to start off on this show. We're going to talk about the sexiest accents, Chris, because it's rolled around again, and the sexiest accent in the whole world has been revealed. Okay, so
can
it's
I
the latest
say something,
findings.
Kira? Sorry, before you reveal this, can I say something? We've been on the radio together, you and I, a while. They do this every year, and there's a different answer every year. Can we not just categorically agree on what it is and be done with it? It seems like every few months there is a new survey on this, and you and I are discussing
Chris,
it. Yes,
you have to kind of think about why that might be, you know? And like, if you take into account the popularity of a TV show that goes global, that has particular accents in it,
true.
You know what I mean? Or a movie, or a football team, or, you know...
What you're saying, and it's based on pop culture. Right, yeah, no, of course, I understand. And it's fashion, like just like how Paul Mescal has made GAA shorts fashionable across the globe, and they're in vogue. Mm. I hear you. Literally in vogue. So I get what you're saying, Kira, absolutely. Yeah,
okay, so the world's sexiest accent, it's the latest finding from the 2020 edition of Time Out Index survey, okay? So they asked more than 37 people in upwards of 30 countries which accent that they found the sexiest.
Do you mean 37,000?
Okay? Sorry,
37 people. And I was like, hold on, that's not a very big sample size.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry, 37,000. All right, fair enough. That's a lot of
people.
Okay, that's a big sample size. Fair enough. I'll take it on that. Right, okay, that's all good.
Okay, so I'll tell you now, Italian accents were named the third sexiest with 15% of the votes worldwide. And they were voted that in Spain, France and Portugal. Spanish and Irish accents rounded out the top five. So that's great.
Okay.
Followed by Australian and American. So look, we made it into the top five, Chris, okay?
Look, we feature at least.
One.
And look, I mean, the Italians, they're a solid, they do textbook football, Kira. You're always going to have them in a top sexiest accent list. Do you know what I mean? They're heavy hitters.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So look, no shame in losing out to them, Kira. I swear to God.
So the French accent
has
been voted the second sexiest accent in the world. So they came second globally with 16% of the worldwide votes. Countries that named France French accents the most alluring included Australia, Brazil, Russia, and Turkey, as well as France's neighbours Germany, Italy, and the Netherlands. So it's fair to say that most of Europe thinks that French accents should be voted the second sexiest accents in the world.
Kira, I swear to God, okay, I will take the indignity of French ranking above us and being second globally, but if I think I know where this is going, if you are telling me that we rank below both France and go for it, I have a feeling,
Chris,
I know what number one is going to be.
That'll strike, you know, some as unexpected, perhaps. British accents took a whacking 25% of the overall vote. The British accent was voted the absolute hottest on earth, coming top in countries as far-flung as Sweden, China, India, and the USA. So people love the British accent, particularly in Asia, with South Korea and Malaysia also finding UK accents too hot to handle, Chris. Japan specifically went weak at the knees for the English accent. While Irish respondents, and I got nervous when I read this line, they were most likely to dig a Scottish accent.
That's fine, because we're brothers. We're Celtic brothers.
In a weird twist.
Yeah, that's okay. That's fine.
Really weird twist. The UK itself named Irish accents the sexiest.
Even they know what's up. You know what I mean? Like, don't get me wrong. I know they voted for Brexit and stuff as well, but like, at least they got this vote right. Do you know what I mean? At least they were dead on with this one. Oh, that is so disappointing. So, like, we're in the top five.
You can't even put it down to James Bond, because the James Bond movie has been pushed back now to 2021. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say maybe The Crown had something to do with it.
Oh, of course, and then that's why they're watching
The Crown
it
on
in
Netflix.
Other countries in the
I'm. That's what I suspect, Chris. Mm-hmm. I don't know at my wife, because, like, I mean, you couldn't, but listening to the leader of their country go, that accent is so sexy. You know what I'm trying to say?
Sure.
Like, Obama had a sexy accent. He had a sexy way about him.
Not really, not Johnson.
So then when asked for a specific place with the sexiest accent of all, respondents were most likely to name London, Paris, Rome, Edinburgh, Porto,
so like London,
and Madrid.
The posh accent as well. Like, not even like a kind of a regional English accent, but like the real...
I love this, Chris. God. Only one country in the survey voted for its own accent as the sexiest.
Who did that?
I have to say, big up to Thailand for showing us all how to self-appreciate.
That's probably the only vote they got as well from like a country.
Very surprised.
Unanimously.
Yeah, very surprised the New Zealand accent doesn't feature. I would say the New Zealand accent is nicer than an Australian accent.
No, it's too
is
high.
Is that controversial?
Here. Yeah,
that's
no.
Probably
it's
very controversial.
It's up like 15 octaves from the Australian accent. Do you know what I mean?
What sort of New Zealanders are you talking
to? So as in an Australian will be like, g'day or whatever. But then a New Zealander's like, g'day. You know what I mean? They've gone way up. They've like, it's like you put the chipmunk effect on the, I don't know. I find that personally, Kira. All right, Kira. So you're telling me that in this top five list of accents, we're like fifth or something, and France is two and England is one.
Yes.
Oh, God. All right. All right, listen. Anyway, Kira, let's get down to some business here. You know who has a certain allure about her? You know who is never fully available, who has a great mystique about her? The author, Kira King. She wrote a great book called Kira's Diary. And, you know, she's very reclusive. People don't know much about her. However, of course, we used to do a great segment here on the show called Kira's Diary, where Kira brought in her old diaries from when she was a young lady. She read them to us. They were honestly awesome. And it was made into a very successful book and everything. However, Kira said, for these times, for these... uncertain and never
well
before
done.
Seen times.
Well done, Chris.
I'm trying not to use the word unprecedented. Kira said, how about we take the spirit of teenage Kira, the DNA of teenage Kira, we revive her and we apply her to everything that's going on now.
And anyone that's been listening to the show for the last 9 months will know the story of Kira's Diary and how Kira is absolutely madly in love with Lucy's older brother. But of course, it's a forbidden love because she's afraid of Lucy. So anyone that's been listening has seen the dance that teenage Kira has done with Lucy's older brother. Obviously, we're coming towards the end of that story now, and more people are finding out about Kira's secret romance with Lucy's older brother. Teenage Kira is petrified because she is so afraid of how Lucy is going to react.
Yes.
And her tight little circle has just got a little bit bigger. So it's going to be interesting to see how this all pans out.
Yeah, and also this is like, at this point, like this saga is becoming Ross and Rachel level. Like, I, you know what I'm saying? Like this, I want a conclusion. I want those two to either get together or to never speak to each other again. But listen, Kira, how about this? Ed Sheeran's on the way. We also have Bugsy Malone and Dermot Kennedy, Don't Cry, which is absolutely brilliant. First, though, here's another thrilling installment of Kira's Diary.
Dear Diary, I'm supposed to be studying for my Christmas exams next week, which are important because it's my leaving cert year, but I'm so distracted by everything that's going on right now. Firstly, the latest lineup for Longitude 2021 has been announced. Megan Thee Stallion, A$AP Rocky, Doja Cat and DaBaby. I know where I'll be next July. I'll be in Marley Park wearing the shortest hot pants that the country has ever seen. And I'm going to smuggle drink in my wellies and in my bra. And I'm going to dance and hug strangers and hopefully shift the face of Lucy's older brother in front of Lucy. And she'll be so happy to just be at a gig again that she won't even mind. And everyone can live happily ever after. Lucy says that she'll use her father's credit card to buy his tickets because he feels bad for leaving Lucy's mum and moving to Thailand with that absolute witch, as Lucy calls her. Tickets are on sale this Friday, so it would be the best Christmas present ever. That's, of course, if the vaccine has been distributed by then. Lucy says she knows someone who put us on a list to make sure that we got the vaccine. And I asked, could my granny be put on that list? But Lucy's still kind of mad at her for the whole fireworks situation. So she said she'd think about it. Lucy was also saying that she wouldn't be the first to take the vaccine because she needs to suss it out, which I find hilarious because I know for a fact that Lucy has had way worse inside her than a vaccine, if you know what I mean, dear diary. Anyway, I have more to worry about than what's been inside Lucy. Rebecca cornered me in the bathrooms in school the last day and told me to spill everything. I was like, what are you talking about? And she was like, what's going on with you and Lucy's older brother? And I was like, nothing is going on. And she was like, that's a total lie because you've liked every one of his Instagram posts and tweets since September. I was like, no, I haven't. And she was like, yes, you have. Turns out herself and Johnny Gimp went through every post just to see was their theory correct. And it's true, I do like everything he posts. So I admitted to Rebecca that we were texting and talking most days on the phone and that he had asked to take me out on a date at Christmas, which is literally the only thing that is keeping me going these days. Rebecca was like, I presume Lucy doesn't know. And I was like, obviously not. And she was like, you've basically signed your debt warrant. And then I made her swear on her life that she wouldn't and couldn't tell anyone. And she said that she had to tell Johnny Limp because they tell each other everything. So I said, fine. But I'm not happy about this, dear diary. I hate that Johnny Limp would know anything about me, especially not my biggest secret of all time. And I feel bad that Lucy doesn't know. I really do. But I'm so afraid of her that I'm willing to leave the country and change my name to start a new life in Panama before I admit there's something going on with me and her brother. Mom is becoming suspicious too. She said that she couldn't help but notice my sunny disposition of late and she's wondering what's behind it. And I just fed her some bull about how the pandemic changed my perspective in life and that I'm much more grateful for everything I have. I don't think she bought it though, because she was hovering outside my room when I was on the phone to Lucy's older brother. And when I came out, she was all like, who are you on the phone to? You were laughing so much. And I said, Lucy. And she was like, I didn't realize you found Lucy so funny. Anyway, the doorbell rang. And of course it was Lucy wondering when I'd go out for a walk. Mom raised her eyebrows and I knew she was on to me then. I didn't realize my mother had become Jessica Fletcher overnight. Why do parents have to get involved with their children's lives anyway? They're so nosy. It's really annoying. Why can't everyone just stay out of my business anyway? I better go here. Lucy told me to watch the Christmas Chronicles too. She said I'll be so hot for Santa after watching some old dude called Kurt Russell play him. Little does she know that the only person I'm hot for right now is her older brother. Goodbye, dear diary. Love, Kira. Chris, yeah. I have a bit of a problem. I've become obsessed with a Spanish actor.
I see. What an interesting way to start the show. All right, yeah. Give me his name. Let me Google
his
him.
Name is Mario Casas. Casas. Oh, anyway, Mario. I've become obsessed with him. The problem is, Chris, I don't speak Spanish and a lot of his films don't come with subtitles. So I had a bit of a nightmare yesterday, but yeah. Now I have to learn Spanish, I guess.
What were you watching that you came across? Sorry, I was over at the computer Googling him. What were you watching that you came across him?
I was watching, it was a Spanish film which did have subtitles and he popped up in it. Now, but any other film that I've come across with him in it doesn't have the subtitles. But anyway, there you go, Chris. Whoa, that's what I did yesterday.
I'm just going to say one thing, Kira. I know you like a bad boy. So I was just on his Wikipedia page. I'm literally just browsing around it now. You know how on Wikipedia they have former wives?
He's got a lot of girlfriends, doesn't he?
Whoa, he's plowing through them, Kira. You, Amia Salamanca, Maria Valverde, Berta Vasquez, Blanca Suarez, Eva Petra. Kira, you're going to have some stiff competition here.
My friend is a teacher. She speaks Spanish. So I was going to get on to her to help me learn to speak Spanish because, you know, obviously I'm fluent in Italian now.
I'll help you as well.
Thank you. Of course. Yeah. You do the. Yes.
Me and you will watch Mario Casas. And maybe I'll find him attractive too. Maybe I can be the seventh wife here on the partner
Chris,
section.
They're just girlfriends. He hasn't found the one he wants to marry yet. So.
Oh, you're so cute. You haven't checked, have you? Oh, God, Kira. That is so sad.
No, of course I haven't.
Oh, God almighty. Anyway, so sorry. They're just the partner. Usually it's wives they stick in there on Wikipedia. But all right, listen. All I'm saying is, Kira, you're going to have your work cut out for you.
Chris, how do I pronounce his surname? Casas.
I think, yeah. I mean, yeah, sure.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. That's an easy one, Kira. That's like five letters. Jesus, if you're struggling with that, your Spanish-speaking
anyway, Chris, sorry. Let's get on with the radio show.
Hey, now I'm really interested in this guy. I'm like, oh, he was born in a Corona. You're right. Very good. Anyway, listen, Kira, on today's show, oh my goodness. This is actually, I'm really looking forward to this. Now, I know we're generating bad karma when we do this, but we do love when a news broadcast goes wrong in some way. So we have a very nice little bit of audio for you of one BBC presenter who had a bit of a nightmare over a piece on monkeys.
I love it already. I love it. I'm actually already laughing.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Chris, it's time for the Christmas decoration debate. Now, I know we touched on it yesterday, but I want to know, and I'm looking for advice, is it time to put up the decorations or am I too late this year? And you know what, Chris? I'm really tired of being the Christmas Grinch. And this year, I really want to embrace it and I need your help.
Wait, what do you mean are you too late, Kira? It's the 29th of November.
No, I know, people have been putting, because of the year that was, so many people are putting up their Christmas decorations earlier. And usually I'd judge, you know, those people that put up their decorations after October 31st. But this year, Chris, I've changed.
I think this year we have to have a different attitude to all this. Also, that girl yesterday that we had on the quiz, she had her Christmas decorations up since the 17th of November, Anyway, we'll also be telling you about 2FM's golden ticket and how you could win yourself the most incredible prize. And it's all in aid of the ISPCC, which is fantastic as well. You
and
know what I mean?
And as always on a Sunday, we'll play our track of the week and we're going to give you another chance to win €100 of Just Eat vouchers if you come on and play our quiz of the week.
Whoa. God, it's all happening. As well as that, on the way for you, we've music from James Vincent McMorrow. Lady Gaga's on the way.
How do you say I love your films in Spanish?
Me encanta sus películas. Okay. Or tus películas, sorry. You should be informal with him. What am I thinking? Yeah, you could say that
to
him.
How do I say, okay. I like your pecs?
Me encantan sus pechos.
Okay.
Kira, give me one of those. Me encantan sus pechos.
Me encantos. Say it again.
Say, oye, Mario, güey, me encantan sus pechos.
Oye, Mario, good morning.
How about I just flirt with him? How about I try and do Mario Casas instead? What do you think of that, Kira?
Oh, that'll be so typical of you.
That's it. Just to annoy Kira, I'm going to change my sexuality and I'm going to do this Spanish actor. Just so that I can hold it over Kira's head. I'm going to be number 18 on that list of partners he has on his Wikipedia page. All right. Look, Kira, enough of this.
How'd you say I love you,
Kira,
Mario?
No. Do you remember in school, Kira, when if you had to read in class and your friends would try and make you laugh?
Yeah.
Oh, or my God.
When you were in mass or you were at mass and, you know, one person in the pew starts laughing and your shoulders are shaking and you can't stop laughing and you know you shouldn't be laughing and you're really trying to hold it in. You know, kind of, it reminds me of that.
Can I actually say to you, that is one of my, and I'm not joking, that's one of my favorite feelings. When you're trying to suppress a laugh in a situation where you shouldn't be laughing. Oh my God, it's ecstasy. I don't know what it is about it.
It is because, and there's always someone else involved that has made you laugh as well. So there's more than one of you involved, you know?
I love it. So it's why I kind of empathize with this guy because obviously he has to be all prim and proper and stiff upper lip. Like he's doing a report on the BBC about like macaque monkeys and like falling tourism rates in Thailand and how they're trying to do this just to create some awareness. But
on top of, you know, dealing with the pandemic, Tories, Brexit, you know, BBC news readers, in fairness, they're earning their money, aren't they, for the last couple of years?
For the last, like since 2016, they really have been earning their money. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Since the vote.
Simon McCoy is the name of the BBC presenter. He presents on the BBC's 24-hour news channel. And the story in question, as you said, focused on a man in Thailand who's been playing the piano for monkeys to raise awareness of their hunger. Now, it kind of
sounds... Such a noble cause, by the way, as well.
It is a noble cause.
Yeah, but like...
So, you know, obviously Thailand, the number, you know, coronavirus, the number of people traveling has drastically dropped. And the number of tourists visiting the country and feeding the monkeys obviously has dropped as well. Sure. So they're not getting much food. So as you said...
He does this very noble thing, this very, like, absolutely commendable thing. He says, wouldn't it be, like, interesting to do something expressive, something artistic? I'll play the piano for them. Except then the newsreader has to do a bit on it. Now, this is fun, Kira, because you know what actually makes it better? Not being able to see him, right? Have a listen to when... So, there's a critical point you can hear. And once that starts...
When I was listening to this clip last night, you can just like I was almost like, "Come on, Simon, you can do it. Just get to the end of the clip, and you can feel him going. You can feel him going.
You can feel the laughter overtaking him, kind of more. You can feel the laughter winning, if you know what I mean. Yeah. Anyway, listen, have a listen, right? And this is important because there's a point at which you can really hear the seal is broken, so to speak. Here, you know, there's a point at which you think he's going to make it, but then the seal breaks, and you're like, "Oh no, he's done. He's."
A British musician has been playing the piano to monkeys at historic sites in Thailand to raise awareness of their hunger. Paul Barton had a bit of a tough crowd to please during the concert.
That's where
the audience of macaques tugging on his hair, stealing his music, and as you can see, climbing all over the piano. Thailand is seeing a reduction in the number of visitors due to the coronavirus pandemic, which has meant there are fewer visitors to feed them and fewer funds to look after them. Well, the monkeys are in fact his latest audience. He previously played Bach, Schubert, Chopin and Beethoven for more than a decade to elephants at retirement sanctuaries.
And if you can tell, it's once he sees retirement centres written on the auto queue. Once he sees elephants at retirement centres written on the, he's like, I hear no, I'm sorry, I'm laughing. I don't care
and
anymore.
Obviously, can we just point out as well, we're not laughing at the very kind and generous act that this man is doing to raise awareness for the monkeys.
Such a wonderful thing. Yeah, absolutely.
And I love that the idea of animals being played music, but you can just see him. And once he goes and just.
And he laughs at the most insensitive part as well. Like the elephants in a retirement home. Like he laughs at such an insensitive part of this wonderful news report on musical therapy for these animals. But listen, Kiri did his best. Do you know what I mean?
He did.
The giggles have gotten all of us at one stage or another. Oh. But look, he did a very good fight. Like as far as I'm concerned,
it has happened me and you, hasn't it?
Oh, stop! Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, happened us loads of times. At least the thing is, you and I are very rarely. Doing something serious. Like occasionally it has happened when we're doing serious things, but at least it's rarer that we're, but this guy, you know, he's a BBC News guy.
That goes too.
No, what happens is you go and you drag me in with you because I just can't help it. Like once you start laughing and we're doing something serious, I'm gone. I'm like, you know, but listen, Kira. By the way, as well, Kira and I acknowledge all of the bad karma we're generating by laughing at other broadcasters messing up.
Do you know what, Chris? I don't think it's bad karma anymore. I mean, we've been doing it now for how many years?
And you're saying we haven't had our, like...
I don't think it's bad karma. I think we're celebrating these people.
That's true, Kira. That's a great way of looking at it, actually. Good one.
Thank you.
I'm going to use that, like, the next time someone says, oh, you were very mean to... No. Kira and I were celebrating them. Don't you get it? Yes. You know what, Kira? I am an awful, awful Christmas Grinch. Like, I really am.
Even this year?
You know, no. But what I was about to say was, you know what? I'm actually going to... No, I'm going to stop that music. Here's some Christmas music, Kira. Let's do this with some Christmas music. Okay, you didn't like that one. How about this one? Do you like this Christmassy song or this one? Are you in the mood with this one?
That one.
Okay, so Kira, you don't mind this being the Christmas track that we discussed this over. Right, so now this was amazing. Yesterday on the show, of course... We had Grace on to play our quiz of the week, and it inadvertently came up in conversation that she has had her Christmas decorations up since the 17th of November. Yeah. Now, God,
usually,
I thought you were bad, Kira.
No, I'm going to jump in here. Usually, I would be very judgy, and I don't understand people that put up Christmas decorations as soon as the Halloween decorations are put away. There is a month, it's December, you're ruining on everyone, and just for the last couple of years, Christmas has seemed so dragged out, expensive, And it just, I really haven't enjoyed it, Chris, right? Okay?
Sure, sure. Okay. Now, look, as you say, Christmas can be very contrived, very commercial. Yeah. And as you say, it drags out, goes on for feckin' 8 weeks. Yeah, sure.
You know, and there's been so many dinners that you have to go to. Oh, and
that was tough.
Parties
that
you have to go to.
A lot of socialising, yeah.
And, you know, you're putting on makeup and you're getting your hair done and you're putting on your party dress. And you know what, Chris? It just became too much. But I always kind of waited until mid-December to put up the Christmas decorations, anytime kind of from the 10th. This year, I think all bets are off. And what, today is Sunday, the 29th.
Yeah.
I put up my Christmas lights last night. And
oh,
I think
did
on
you?
The 1st of December, just for my window display. See, I've never lived by myself before. So this is the first time that I get to decorate my own space for Christmas. So I've bought a little 3 foot tree. I have one bauble. But my lights
this
on the window.
This sounds so grim.
My lights on the window are incredible. They're like stars dropping down. It's beautiful. So what I lack in the whole bauble department, I'll make up for the lights, Chris,
Kira,
on my
can
window
I ask,
display.
Did you make an official ceremony? Did you invite people? Did you live stream it? Was there any pomp and ceremony, Kira, of you turning on your Christmas lights?
It was just me and...
It was a discreet affair.
And I'll send you a picture.
Do, please, Kira. I can't believe I haven't gotten a picture as of yet. If this happened last night, I can't believe I haven't received a picture.
I'm waiting until the 1st of December.
To what?
To put up the rest of my stuff and to like really get in the Christmas spirit.
Okay.
Is, you know, and I'm really looking forward to it this year. And like, you know me, Chris, I'm a judgy person. I haven't judged anyone for putting up their Christmas trees early this year of all years. And I know that people need Christmas cheer more than ever this year.
No, listen, as far as I'm concerned, in this year, whatever makes you happy. So as in for once, you're not doing the gauche, wry, self-aware thing. And you're like, you know what, just get into the actual spirit of Christmas.
I really am getting into it ironically. Yeah.
Okay.
My friend was worried when I was walking by her house the last day because she put up her decorations last week.
Yeah.
And she was about to justify herself. And I was like,
no.
Hey, you don't have to justify yourself to me this year.
You know what? You're absolutely right. Not this year. Whatever makes you happy. Like, I mean.
Yeah, whatever makes you happy. Whatever gets you through the end of this year.
Now, in fairness, though, Grace putting them up on the 17th of November is a little early, Kira. That's all I'm saying. I mean,
Chris,
just putting it out there.
This is how much I have changed this year. I'm like, whatevs.
Wow, good for you. So are we saying that for once we're actually not going to do the cynical thing and we're going to say if you want to put up your Christmas decorations, you put up your Christmas decorations.
For the first time in my life, I bought you a serious Christmas present.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did.
Oh. Oh, wow.
And
oh,
I
no.
think this time you're going to be genuinely pleased with it because I think I ticked all of the boxes.
Oh, shoot. Oh, God, that puts huge pressure on me now. I haven't gotten your gift yet. Oh, no. Now that I know that, because usually Kira and I'll be honest with you, get each other horrible, stupid, like, presents.
Not this year. I got you the most thoughtful gift that I've ever gotten you in our 10 years working in radio together.
Kira, come on.
Oh, I started buying my Christmas presents at the start of November.
I did notice that, because Kira was texting me about people that we work with, like people like on the show team and stuff, and she was like, now for Adam, I have this. And I'm like, Kira, it's October. Like, what the...
I am organised,
all right,
friend.
Well, listen, anyway, let's all embrace Christmas this year. And
oh, Chris, I even got personalised wrapping paper. So it's really cute. They're flamingos with little Santa hats, and it says, Happy Christmas, love, Kira, on the wrapping paper.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Kira's put such effort in.
Do you even recognise me?
No, that's a lot, Kira, in fairness. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, listen. You know what? For once, I'm not doing it. And I'm not even going to do the whole... Oh, don't put them up till at least the 8th. Just put them up if you feel like it.
Exactly.
Put them up right now. All right. How about this? On the way for you, we've Soli with Troublemaker first, though. Here's some Little Mix Sweet Melody on 2FM. Oh, yes. What is the pizza scene like in West Cork?
Yeah, they're nice.
At least you have, you know, you can wash it all down with a big pint of milk.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Straight from the cow.
You can just load the butter all over it and it'll be fantastic. All right, listen, Aoife, thank you.
You've been an absolute sport. Thank you so much for coming on and chatting to myself and Chris. And I'm in the mood for a chat today, so I think you bore the brunt of it, but I'm delighted that you won the vouchers.
Thanks so much.
There we go, Kira. That's Aoife in Roscarbery in West
Cork. Do you know what it is, Chris? It's because I miss talking to people.
Are you not talking to people much anymore?
I don't see people, you know?
So you find that if you meet someone interesting and polite and friendly like Aoife...
But I've actually noticed when we do have people... I actually forgot there that we were playing Quiz of the Week with Aoife.
Kira,
I just wanted to chat to her.
Were you just happy to have made a friend?
Yeah.
Is that what it was? Were you just
Grace
happy to have a new friend?
Eva today. Yeah. It's just nice to chat to people.
Will you leave her on the phone, Daniel, if she's still there? Hold on. Don't hang up on her if you... Daniel's outside talking
stop.
To her.
Okay,
no,
stop. No,
Kira,
me.
I'm going to get
don't
you a friend.
Me.
No, watch.
No, don't embarrass
this is like
stop,
when, you're,
Chris,
when your mom
seriously.
Tries to make you friends in like,
no,
you know,
you're
school.
Fine. Chris, I'm fine. I'm grand.
Daniel, will you put
no,
her back
Chris,
on the...
stop.
Hold on. Sorry, I just... He's talking. He's getting her details for the prize. Come back.
Okay,
wait.
Let's leave it.
Aoife, hi. Are you still there?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm here.
So, Kira really likes you and would like to be your friend because Kira doesn't have many friends. So, Kira would like you
hey,
and her to be
no,
friends.
No, I have lots of friends. I just haven't seen a lot of my friends in the last couple of months.
Listen, Aoife, Kira
Aoife,
struggles to
if
make
I
friends.
Ever find my way down to West Cork or if you ever find yourself out wandering Connemara or Dublin City... Let's have pizza together. There you go.
Aoife, Kira's not very social as she struggles to make friends
Chris,
and I'm
it.
Just trying to help her out here. So, you know,
that
would you consider
great.
Being her friend? Great. Brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, thank you, Aoife.
There we go. Thank you, Aoife. There we go. Kira.
Chris.
I was your wingman, but with friends yeah. instead.
Oh, my God. Do you think you could do that with maybe a male listener at some stage for me?
I'll do it with Daniel. What about broadcast coordinator Daniel? I'll get him in here and then he can be your boyfriend. We'll have it all sorted and then you, him and Aoife can
now,
go out
are you
for pizza.
Done?
I think so, yeah. I mean, there's no one else left on the phone. Everyone has stopped calling in because they're worried they're going to have to be your friend. They're just like, no, I'm not doing that. Wow, I'll tell you something. Wow, it was incredible.
That was, and I still can't believe they included the bit where you try and make Aoife become friends with me.
That's going to be on the 9 o'clock news this evening, I believe. That's,
but I have to say,
excited.
I really, really enjoyed your absolute discomfort at the fact of the British accent being voted very sexy.
Hey, listen, you know, I mean, we all get something out of this
and
show, right?
And I also loved your Kiwi impression.
Thank
very,
you, Kira. There we go. Yes, yeah, it was a jam-packed show, in fairness. But listen, Kira, we'll be back soon. Everybody should give this 5 stars or a like or a subscribe or
yeah,
whatever it is you're listening.
Next week on the show, we can talk about what Christmas presents you got me.
Well, I couldn't ruin the excitement of that, Kira. Next week's only the 6th or whatever, Saturday the 5th of December.
You know,
December.
Last year you
that.
Bought me Hitler's.
I bought you Mein Kampf, yes, I yeah. did, yeah. I feel I can't do any of that this year because apparently
no,
you've gotten me a serious present as well.
I have, and I've supported a very serious Irish institute. But, Chris, can you believe that was a year ago that you bought me Mein Kampf?
Kira, it only feels like 2 or 3 months ago I was buying you Mein Kampf.
Does,
do you know
it?
What I mean? Time flies.
Doesn't it though, seriously?
No,
like...
I know, it's terrifying, yeah, yeah. No, do you know what? Somebody put up a tweet yesterday. I saw it and it was, just so you all know, March is in 3 months and I was like, oh my God.
What?
Yeah.
Oh no, no, come on. We've December, January, February.
Yeah, you go.
Oh,
and
yeah,
then
okay,
it's March.
It's 3 months.
Yeah. Terrifying, isn't it?
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Chris,
yeah.
That's actually just after blown my mind.
A year of our lives, just this COVID stuff and I know.
It's okay though. It's okay.
Yeah, it is. We'll be
it's
there.
Okay.
We'll get
we
there.
Will
you
indeed.
Know what I mean? We'll do it. Yeah, yeah. All right. Mm. Well, listen, until next time, from myself, Chris, goodbye from Kira.
Goodbye. Kira, weekends from